For the reading of the word, stand and turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 23. We will read a few verses of scripture. Numbers, chapter 23. And the first verses we will read in this chapter is verses 7 and 8. And he took up a parable and said, Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Arm out of the mountains of the east, saying, Come, curse for me Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed, or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? Skipping over to verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. And for the last verse we're reading this evening, verse 23, Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, What hath God wrought? Shall we pray? Father God, we ask you to speak to us in a special way here this evening. Anoint us to both speak and receive. O God, you know exactly what each one of us need, our desires. Oh God, we ask you to help us, help your people. We must be helped by the Spirit. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And to God be the glory for all blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now to most Bible scholars, the reading even being sketchy, you know exactly where we're reading and what we're reading about. But for those who might not be quite so familiar, I will tell you that this is the time of Israel's journeying out of the land of Egypt on the way to the promised land. As they were traveling along, they came by the land of Moab. They came by the king that was frightened concerning Israel. And so he called Balaam, a modern-day prophet, modern of his day, to come and to curse this great people because the fear had fallen upon all the land. And so you know the story, and I have another sermon about how he got there and how he shouldn't have been there when he got there. But anyway, he did come, and he did offer sacrifices, and he did ask the Lord what the Lord would have him say. And as you know by the reading of the scripture, instead of cursing Israel on behalf of Moab and the king, he blessed Israel. And he blessed Israel because God had blessed Israel. And he explained to the people, I can only bless because God has blessed. I can do nothing against these people because God has ordained a blessing. I have entitled the message that I bring to you here this evening, I am blessed. Would you say it with me? I am blessed. We sing a chorus. Actually, there's a whole song by that title, but most of us just know the course. And we sing, I am blessed every day that I live, I am blessed. And when we wake up in the morning and when we lay our head to rest at night, we are blessed. But I want to stress that to you just a little bit more. In our vernacular today, we often use the phrase, God really blessed us last night. And that's all right. It's fine. He did. I really received a blessing from the Lord yesterday. Amen. And that's wonderful. We really received a blessing from the Lord. But I would like to preach to you tonight for a little while that we are blessed. And please note that I am not saying that we received a blessing last night. Or, God bless me on the job yesterday, I got a raise. Or I'm not saying that, oh, last Sunday, God really blessed us, poured out a blessing on us. No, I'm not saying that. Because when we say that, we are saying that God opened the windows of heaven for just a moment, and for that particular time or moment, He blessed me. But I am saying to you tonight, not that we have received a blessing, but that we are blessed. Let me stress it a little more. We are the blessed of God. We are that people in the earth that every moment of every day, we are blessed. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I wish God's people could really get a hold of that and understand that He doesn't just come along and touch us once in a while and help us along the way and bless a little bit now and then, but we are blessed. And please note, when somebody comes along and tries to curse you, they have a hard job on their hands. Because you see, you can't curse those whom God has blessed. The prophet said, "How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed?" It can't be done. He said, "Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it." Amen. Praise God. Somebody mistakenly said one day, "The devil has been after me all day long." And they even added, "Bless his dear name." And that's like saying amen at the wrong place. But the wrong person is doing the chasing. We ought to cause the devil some consternation. When the day is over, he ought to be the one that says, "Those Pentecostals have been after me all day long. They have been chasing me and chasing me. I'm glad it's bedtime. Maybe they'll go to bed and sleep a while. Let me rest." Because the Bible tells us that we can resist him and he will flee from us because we are the blessed of Almighty God. Note some of the things that the Lord said through the prophet concerning these people. Who can count the dust of Jacob? Then he said, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." He said, "How goodly are the tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob. It shall be said of Jacob and Israel, what hath God wrought?" Give the Lord a hand clap praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are and should be an amazement to the world. Amazement to the enemy, actually, of our soul, because of God's blessings upon us. The world of the day that Israel lived looked at them in total amazement. How can this people, how can this band of slaves, how can these unorganized, uneducated, untrained people do the things that they are doing? Oh, my friend, it's easy for us to understand because God had said, I am going to bless them. I love them. They are my people. They are the people that I desire to bless. They are the people that I desire to pour my blessings out upon. They are mine and they are blessed, and nobody is going to stop them. And so Egypt found out that when they were dealing with Israel, they were dealing with God's blessed people. And the plagues came, and God's people went out with a high hand. God subdued kingdoms, and He wrought righteousness. He rolled back the Red Sea. And of course, various things happened, such as manna from heaven, and the Jordan River flowing the wrong direction, and the walls of the ocean forming solid walls, and God's people traveling through on dry land. Friend of mine, when you see what God wants to do for His people, it is an amazing thing. What has God wrought with us? And He's still doing that today. And we are God's people in a spiritual sense. In Genesis chapter 22, I want you to note what God said to Abraham. He said, in blessing, I will bless you. And this is not part of the message tonight, but I'll just throw it in for a little side trip here. He also said, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. Amen. Part of the reason that God has blessed this nation as it has is because we have been the protector of Israel for 40 years. Part of the reason God's blessings have been upon us as they have is because of our attitude toward Israel, God's chosen people. And the Lord said to Abraham, in blessing, I will bless you. You see, when you are the blessed of God, everywhere you go, everything you do, you have the hand of God upon you and with you. Three times, as I counted it, Abraham crossed that desert between Palestine and Egypt. I crossed it in an air-conditioned bus one time. And I'm not sure I even want to do that again. And sometimes we would come to sand drifts, as we would know here in this part of the country, snow drifts, but it was sand drifts, where the wind had just drifted the sand across the road. And I watched people riding camels and donkeys out there. And I thought, to ride a donkey or a camel or walk all the way from the Jordan River to the city and the land of Egypt would absolutely have to be a miracle for you to make it. But three times he walked across that, and God was with him. He stood before one of the greatest kings of that day. Just him and his household. And the king was suffering great distress because of Abraham. The king had the power to say, take him and kill him. But he didn't. Why would the king of Egypt, the strongest land in the area, why would the king give gifts to Abraham? Give him many things and say, go on your way, Abraham. It was because he was blessed. Praise God. God's hand was upon him. When he traveled in the sun and sand, God's blessings was upon him. When he stood before the king, nobody could lay a hand upon him because God's blessing was upon him. When he armed the servants of his own household and began to pursue after those that captured Lot, why did he win the victory? Because God's blessings was upon him. God's hand was there every step of the way. Let me tell you, children of the Most High God, when you wake up in the morning, you must understand that God has His hand upon you. You may have a headache and you may not feel too good, but don't forget the hand of Almighty God is upon you and you are the blessed of God. You may meet frowns throughout the day. You may have trials and tribulation. And you may wonder, where is God? But your faith ought to tell you that God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you always, even unto the end of the age. And so He's with us when the sun's shining. And He's with us in the midnight hour. He's with us when we're on the mountaintop, and He's with us when we're in the valley. Praise God. We are blessed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if I'm a little foolish about my attitude towards certain things. But I have come to the place that not very many things disturb me much anymore. Oh, I'm not saying that nothing ever disturbs me or nothing can disturb me. But God has given me grace and helped me to understand that the wind blows from the east and then it'll blow from the west. And the waves will rise and then they will fall. Don't be disturbed because you're still in the kingdom of God. You still have the power of the Holy Ghost within you. And some days will be good and some days will not be so good. And some days it will look like that you're going to win the victory and everything is going to be great. And then some days you will wonder if you're going to be able to hold on through the day. But my friend, just keep on believing because you belong to Him. You are His chosen people, you are the blessed of God, and I promise you, nothing can turn you around. Nothing can pluck you out of His hand. You are safe in His pavilion. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I want you to listen to some of this in Galatians chapter 3. Let's look a little bit at verse 7. It says, they who are of faith are the children of Abraham. Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord. Those that are of faith are the children of Abraham. And when you begin to count up the blessings and the promises to Abraham, amen, that's really enough just there. Because He said, I'm going to bless you. Every time I think about blessing, I'm going to bless. In blessing, I'm going to bless you. Every time I go to my storehouse, I'm going to think about you.
All right.
Abraham, you're my servant. Amen. I'm putting confidence and trust in you. And I'll tell you something else. When people try to come against you and treat you evil, I won't let them. They will find it difficult. Because when I bless, nobody can reverse it. Hallelujah. Amen. I like what was said to David by the counterpart, the one that by lineage and by rightful lineage was supposed to ascend to the throne in King David's era. And yet, it was said to him, I'm not going to try to take the throne. I know you're going to be king because it's yours of the Lord. God's given it to you, and nobody is going to take it away from you. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we are really not dependent upon man for our joy, for our victory, for our happiness, for our contentment? I don't know. I may preach it at one of the services here, but I have a sermon that I've entitled, Where is Your Victory? Where is it? And, Brother Tracy, our victory is in Jesus Christ. Praise God. The world may marshal its forces against us. Circumstances may pile up as opposition to us. But friend of mine, we are not looking to the arm of flesh. We are looking to the Lord God Almighty, who said that He would open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we would hardly be able to receive. That's the God that we serve. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so when I sing, I am blessed, I began to sing it with a different understanding. That I am not just blessed in service. We Pentecostals attach so much to feeling, and rightly so. I'd hate to come to a Pentecostal service and feel nothing. Praise God. We attach so much feeling to our prayers, and I'd hate to know that I went to prayer day after day after day after day and felt absolutely nothing. But friend of mine, we don't always have to feel it. Friend of mine, He's there when you don't feel it. He's there when you can't see Him. He's there when you can't tell it by the circumstances around you. An ever-present help in time of need and trouble. Hallelujah. Our victory is not in sword and spear. Our victory is not in those things at all. It's in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, they who are of faith are the children of God. Of Abraham. Now verse 8 explains to us that the gospel was preached unto Abraham. That's strange. You will notice that. Read it whenever you get the opportunity. Verse 8 of Galatians 3. The gospel was preached unto Abraham. In thee shall all nations be blessed. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. But I'm not only going to bless you. I'm going to bless all nations through you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there's a whole sermon there. Church, the world is blessed because of us. And this world would be in big trouble if we were not here. And this world is going to be in big trouble in just a little while because we're not going to be here. Hallelujah. And when we're gone, I wouldn't want to be among those that are left. Then verse 9 says, so then, they who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We're the children of Abraham, and we're blessed with faithful Abraham. Praise God. And then verse 14, he says, the blessing came to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we, of course, might receive that promise through the Spirit of Almighty God. And so, we are blessed. Now, just how sure are we that when God said to Abraham, in blessing, I'll bless you, that that'll pass on down to us? Just how sure that when we can't feel Him, do we know He's there? Are you in the family? Praise God. Do you have the right name? Praise God. You see, all the family of God in heaven and in earth is named by that name. Jesus Christ received His name. How? He received it by inheritance. Look at the first chapter of Hebrews and it will tell you just that. He received a more excellent name than anyone else. He received it by inheritance. We have been given that name. We are in the family of God. We are under the blessings of the Lord. And there is absolutely no way that anybody can take that away from us. Now, church, let me stress this a little bit. Satan has his way with too many of God's people because we live shaky lives. Often people are not sure whether or not God will really hold them up or not. They are not completely sure whether God will be with them in the struggle or not. You need to understand that He will not forsake you. He is not willing that any should perish. Away with the old idea that the Lord is just looking for some way to trick me and toss me aside and go on without me. No, my friend, the Lord is not looking for a way to get rid of me. He's doing everything He knows how to do to keep me and to bless me and to help me. And it's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Glory to God. He wants to bless us. He wants to help us. He doesn't want us to be lost. Amen. If we could act in boldness at all times, whether we're standing before the king of Egypt, or whether we are pursuing someone who has been stolen away by the enemy, with what we know to be a lesser army, with what we know to be lesser strength as far as the natural is concerned. But if we could come boldly with the strength of the Holy Spirit in us, we would conquer lands that we have thought in times past were not possible for us to conquer. Praise God. Had a little brother to say one time, he misquoted the scripture because he got excited. He was just a little Sunday school kid. He got excited and he was supposed to quote the scripture that says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But he got so nervous and excited, he said, fear the devil and he'll run from you. And I'm afraid the church has misquoted that scripture a little bit. Not in literal sense, but somewhere deep on the inside, we tiptoe around. And we think the devil's over there asleep. And so somebody says, don't wake him up. Let's just tiptoe by. Maybe we'll get by without him knowing we're here. Oh, church, come on. Who are we? Right. Who is our God? We are blessed. And it's time that we do the resisting.
Yes,
not the fearing, not the running. Because our position in Christ is secure. Absolute. No one can pluck us out of the Father's hand. Verse 15 of this chapter says, though it be just a man's covenant, if it is confirmed, it cannot be avoided or annulled. Just a man. Contract. You watch it. You sign a contract and then don't fulfill it. See what happens. They'll jerk you into court. And the first thing you know, you'll have a judgment against you. And maybe your possessions will be taken, or your wages will be docked, and so on and so forth. That's just a man's covenant. The scripture said, even though it's just a man's covenant, if it's confirmed, it cannot be voided. But now verse 17 says, the covenant of the blessing of Abraham, the covenant that you and I are talking about here tonight, was confirmed by God Himself. And He swore by Himself because He could not swear by any greater. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Oh, hallelujah. I told somebody last night, they were struggling to be renewed in the Holy Ghost. I explained to them that if you want to be renewed in the Holy Ghost, then make sure two or three things are right in your life. Number one, make sure you're sincere with God. You're not just playing some kind of game. Number two, repent. Sincerely before the Lord, repent of anything you know about and even those things you don't know about. And then, once you have cleared a couple of things away, all you have to do is begin to lean upon the Word of God. Trust in the Word that said, I will bless you. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I am not willing that any should perish. I said, once you have trusted in the Lord, and once you have repented of your sins, you don't have to beg God for anything. It's time now to rejoice in Him, because you know without a shadow of a doubt, you know that heaven and earth could not stop it, because His Word said it was going to be so, that in just a moment the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and fill you, and you're going to be speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. It will happen, and it happens every time you approach God like that. Amen. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will not pass away. And He said, treat me like that and see what happens. I'll come. Oh, it's all right to pray and cry, weep in repentance. But after you have wept your way through to repentance, it's time to get up and glorify God and receive the gift. Hallelujah. It's a gift. You don't have to beg for the gift. The scripture said it's His good pleasure to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. That's the scripture that says, knock, ask, seek. How many did He say? He said, everybody that knocks, everybody that seeks, everybody that asks is going to receive. There will not be one person that fails to receive. If they sincerely ask, seek, and knock. Repent, turn to God, baptize. Then His Word comes into play that the gift is on its way. And so, God confirmed His promise to us by Himself. It is absolutely sure. Now I want to close with this last character, a man that we know quite a bit about because he's prominent in Scripture, and especially some of the accounts that we will mention. It's found in the 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis. His name was Jacob. And we know him as that one that for a number of years in his life was a schemer. But we also know him as one that desired the things of God. And his scheming, even, was always toward God. But there came a time that he really opened up completely to God. He went across the brook, he put everything else on the other side. And he began to pray and seek the Lord. It was not because God was not going to help him. It was because there were things in Jacob that were not yet surrendered to God. He was still the supplanter. He was still the schemer. But if we can put everything over the brook and trust completely in God, I want you to notice this. Don't hold anything back on God. He put everything across, and then he began to pray and seek the Lord. The scriptures refer to it as a wrestling match. They wrestled with him, God or the angel of the Lord, all that night. Please note what Jacob said. As the day was breaking, angel said, "Let me go." He said, "No, I won't let you go. I won't let you go until you bless me." Praise God. If I can keep you from it, you will not leave here until you bless me. Now the revelation of this man was great. He was facing an army. He was facing an angry brother. 400 armed men at Beth. He had just a few, and they were herdsmen, cattlemen. He wasn't praying, "God, you've got to give me an army. I need an army. You can do anything, cause somebody to show up in my defense." He was not praying for those kind of things. He was praying, "God, I want your blessings." Because he knew the best thing on earth was simply having God's blessings upon you. Praise God. And so they wrestled on. "The angel let me go." "No, won't let you go. You're going to bless me. You're going to bless me." Praise God. "I have fought many battles that I really shouldn't have fought. I have crossed over the brook, and I have tried my own strategy, and I have waged my own wars many times when I should have put it all on the other side and just got alone with God. And instead of saying, 'Oh God, we need a building,' or 'Oh God, we need 100 to receive the—' 'Oh God, all I need is just your blessing. Oh God, all I want is just to know that your hand is on me. All I want is just to know that you're with me. And then it won't make any difference. I can face my brother tomorrow if I know you're with me. I can face the whole army if I know, Lord, that you are with me. But I'm not taking one step. I'm never leaving here until I know for sure that you are with me, that your blessing is upon me." Oh, praise God. And so, his hip was thrown out of joint. The angel put his hand on his hip and threw it out of joint. And here, when the wrestling match was over, here was a half cripple, dragging his foot behind him. And I don't know, maybe he had a sword on his side, I don't know. But if he did, "Jacob, what's wrong with you? You know, you've got to meet your brother today. And you didn't get any sleep last night, I can tell by looking at you. And you're crippled, what happened to you?" Oh, but Jacob smiled. Said, "But I may be crippled, and I may not have had any sleep last night. I may look a mess this morning, but I want you to know this: God's blessings is on me. Hallelujah. Let's go. Praise God. Let's go, children. Let's go, wives. Let's go, herdsmen. He's coming. Let's go. Praise God." Oh, church, wake up to who you are. Wake up to the understanding that He doesn't come by and bless you once in a while. He has put His name upon you. It's written on the fleshly table of your heart. He has declared that you belong to Him. And you belong to Him when He sends you across town. You belong to Him when He sends you to China. You belong to Him wherever He sends you. The psalmist said, though I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost part of the earth, yet He's there. And more than that, yet I am still His. And He is there to bless me. He's going to keep me in it all. It really doesn't matter. What are you going to do, Jacob? I don't know what I'm going to do for sure. But I do know this, that God is with me, and His blessings will sustain me. And every moment will take care of itself. I'm not preaching against seminars. I teach in them. I'm not preaching against planning, preaching against organizing. I organize. But I'm telling you, all the planning and all the scheming and all the seminars that we can participate in and all of the things that we can arrange ourselves will really come to naught if God is not with us. We may not have all the answers, but if we have Him, we're going to see the light of day. We're going to see victory in the morning. Praise God. So, Jacob, what did the Lord do? Well, He changed my name. He changed your name. What can that do for you? Oh, let me tell you something. A name change can do a lot for you. Hallelujah. Maybe you'll understand it a little bit like this. If all of a sudden you were adopted into a different family. And let's just say, for instance, that family name was Kennedy. Or maybe Rockefeller. Or something like that. Now you get the point. What a name change can do for you. Jacob, what did he do for you? He just changed my name. Praise God. He might have been casual about it. Oh, he just changed my name. Well, I know your name is Jacob, but what did he change your name to? Oh, he just changed my name to Israel. That's all. You see, those standing around knew what that meant. That meant prince. Now, he was a prince with God. Oh, children of the Most High God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Oh, God, help us to understand the power in your name. Help us to understand the safety in your name. Help us to understand the saving power of his name. We baptize people so long, if we're not careful, it'll become a ritual. But friend of mine, when somebody repents of their sin and we take them to the watery grave in the name of Jesus Christ, all heaven stands to attention when we take them down in the name of Jesus Christ. Because in that name, no sin can stand up against it. When we bury them in the name of Jesus Christ, suddenly all holes that the devil had on them, all sin that he had contaminated them with, all chains he had placed upon them, and designs he had upon them for eternal damnation, when we call the name of Jesus Christ over them in that water, suddenly all of that has to fall off. All of it is gone. And there is no power in heaven and earth or under the earth that can resist the
name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Thank
God. I'm going to close. Would you stand, please? We got in a kind of a heated debate with some people one day about the name of Jesus. We weren't wanting to cause the static, but they were getting very excited about it. And so naturally, if you're not careful, you'll get a little excited with them. And they brought up a little point. And they picked up what we were saying. And so they said, trying to poke fun at us or something, they called my name, and my full name, Doyle Douglas Davis. Now it's senior. So your name is Doyle Douglas Davis Senior Jesus.
That's right.
They were trying to make fun of me. But really, when you stop to think about it, they're right. Because I took on His name. Hallelujah. He brought me into the family. And it fully says that all the family of God in heaven and in earth is named by that name. We are all under that protection. We all have that name written on our soul. Glory to God, glory to God. And I have a little feeling that I have almost tread where angels fear to tread a couple of times in my life, and I'm trying not to do it anymore. But I have a feeling there is a little secret of some of those things that the apostle said that he saw that was not lawful for him to speak. Paul knew some things that he couldn't write and couldn't speak. He'd been somewhere. We assume that he was speaking of himself. And I have a feeling that some of that has to do with what happens when a bride, and we will not designate where the bride came from, but when a bride marries royalty, that does something to that bride, doesn't it? It puts them into a royal family. Praise God. And we won't stress that too much more. But what happens when a church marries deity? We won't discuss it any further, but think just a little bit. What happens when the church of the living God marries deity? Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We are espoused to one husband. His name is Jesus. He's written that name on us. We are blessed. We are blessed. The next time you are tempted to feel like the downtrodden, the off-scourings of the earth, when next time you're tempted to feel like the underprivileged of the earth, remember who you are. You are the blessed. Praise God. Let's love Him. Let's worship Him.